Now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Debbie. This is not a theory. That comes much later. So anyway, this is Minds Over Matter. We hope you're having a wonderful Cinco de Mayo. And please give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is, was, and always will be an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. And it does tend to get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show. So give us a call as soon as you can. And the number is area code 415-841-4134. That's area code 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you that we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. So again, that's 415-841-4134. Our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, @yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. It's always great to hear from our listeners. Matter of fact, I got an email from an Australian couple this week who say they listen to the show as they drive from their house in Sydney to their cabin up in the snowy mountains.
What time of day is it in Australia?
Oh, they listen to the podcast. Oh,
excellent.
So, yeah. So thank you very much for that. Pip Ryan, that's it. So thank you for that. So our email address, as I said, is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. You can hear our show online. Since Debbie is doing it, it will be done to the absolute perfection, I know, at kalw.org. They'll have a podcast available. Also, if you'd like to hear our show on, as I said, online, you can just go to kalw.org anywhere in the world, and you can listen to it there. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. The porn star to my left, let's see, Jerry Nachman, just back from floating down the Mississippi, not on a raft, but on a paddle wheeler, failed to catch any alligators, but did manage to catch a cold and lose his voice. And we're very happy that he managed to get just enough of it back to be here.
Thank you very much, Dana. Lori Fisher knows that if he manages to ignore baseball for the next hour, the Giants will miraculously have swept the Dodgers, remained in first place, and heralded the start of summer.
They will. And despite the fact that he had Chinese food for dinner and Italian sausage for lunch, our lone Hispanic and moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wishes all our listeners a happy Cinco de Mayo.
So, yeah, I can feel my arteries hardening right now.
We can see them.
Yeah. And we'll begin with Jerry.
Okay. Well, Walmart executives have discovered that as a hurricane approaches a city, customers stock up on wet snack food, which is placed in front of the store with the storm supplies.
I asked a similar question once.
Oh.
It wasn't exactly that question, that when a hurricane is coming, what is the first thing the customer is buying? It was beer?
No.
That's a staple, not a snack food.
You're right. So this probably has to be something that goes with beer.
I'll give you two guesses each.
And they stock it generally in the front of the store? Or they just do it for this occasion?
They place it in the front of the store with the storm supplies.
What goes with beer?
Peanuts.
No, not peanuts.
That was Dana hinting.
Let's see. Well, I'll say Doritos or Slim Jims?
No, and no.
All right.
Okay, I'll say granola bars.
No.
Okay. And M&Ms.
No.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
So why don't you repeat the question, Jerry?
Okay, Walmart executives have discovered that as a hurricane approaches an area, customers stock up on wet snack food, which is placed in the front of the store along with the storm supplies.
Debbie has ventured to guess popcorn.
No.
All right.
Yeah, popcorn, they wouldn't be able to cook, right?
That's true, yeah.
Well, it could be popped popcorn. Oh, they have it on the base. Yeah. And Lori, why don't you go ahead?
All right. So the Tony Awards were announced this week, the nominations anyway, and Tom Hanks is nominated. And it led me to ask this question. Who was the last actor and actress to win a Tony after they had won an Oscar? Lots of people have won Tonys and Oscars. And who was the last person to – who were the last – actor and actress to have won a Tony Award, who's the most recent? And in the past, they had won an Oscar for Best Actor and Best Actress.
Are you going to tell us how far back this goes?
Okay. It's within the last, both of them are within the last 5 years.
Well, yeah, because they always guarantee the success of the show.
And this year, Tom Hanks was the only super star who was nominated. But anyway, these are both well-known people.
Alec Baldwin?
No. Good guess. He didn't get nominated, apparently. Yeah. It's some kind of scandal.
There was somebody there just a couple of years ago that that won. And I always wondered whether it was just because they were a movie star.
I think you always wonder that.
Okay. I'll have to reserve my guess. So I have to think about that. Sure. Why don't you repeat the question?
Anyway, so I want to know who are the most recent Tony Award winners who, before they won their Tony Award, had won an Oscar for Best Actor and who had won for Best Actress. And both of them had won their Tony within the last 5 years.
Do you know if they had been on the Broadway stage before?
I think the man had not, and I think the woman had. I think the man has just been a big movie star who then...
Like Hanks, yeah.
Yeah, like Hanks.
Yeah. Okay.
And a big... The man particularly is a huge movie star.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Who was the first major U.S. best-selling... What was the first major U.S. best-selling novel that starred the author in the film adaptation of it?
Whoa.
And I should say that the novel was not written by an actor. Okay, so what was the? It's a very well known novel. It's still read widely today. What was the first major U.S. best selling novel that starred the author in the film adaptation? The novel was written in the 40s, and the movie adaptation was in the early 50s.
And the author was in the film.
The author was the star of the film.
The star of the film. And well, it's a legitimate author.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Not
most
definitely. Mickey Spillane.
No. Well, that's a perfectly good guess.
That's a really good guess.
Yeah, yeah, and that he did, but that he wasn't the first.
He was not the first.
So somebody before Spillane.
And this was a serious novel.
And he was the star, the featured role.
He was.
In the movie.
He played the lead role.
Wow.
That's a great question.
And, okay, second question is, what is the largest country in the world that is named after a river?
Nigeria.
Well, that's a very good guess, but no. What is the largest country in the world that is named after a river?
Amazonia, probably not.
I don't know, of course.
All right. All right, so once more, what is the largest country in the world that is named after a river? And what was the first major U.S. best-selling novel that starred the author in the film adaptation of that novel?
Is the author a woman?
It is not.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Here from Union City.
Hello.
I got a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, about two television series. What did Bewitched and Blue 66 have in common?
What did Bewitched and Route 66 have in common?
Yeah.
The song or the show?
The shows. They had one thing in common. You know what it was?
Well, is it an actor?
No.
Is it the studio they were made in?
No.
Yeah.
That's something to do with one of the sponsors.
Oh, no, we wouldn't get that.
You don't know?
No.
They were sponsored by Chevrolet.
Okay.
Here's my second question. Jerry Lewis did a movie called was it The Family Jewels? And his son, one of his, he had a son Gary who had the group The Playboys.
Right.
His songs was featured in the film of Source Music. You know what it was?
Okay, go over that once more.
Well, yeah, Jerry Lewis did a movie called The Family Jewels.
Right.
And his son Gary Lewis though had a hit song that was on the charts at the time the movie was released. It was featured in the film of Source Music. You know what it was?
This Diamond Ring.
Yes, give yourself a
good
bow.
Job.
There you go.
Isn't that their only hit song?
They had one other hit.
That was heard. It was where Jerry Lewis is playing a phonograph, and that's the first song he plays.
Wasn't this Diamond Ring written by somebody famous, like Al Cooper?
It was written by Al Cooper.
Yeah.
Two other guys. I can't remember. Levine and Brass. I don't know who the first names were.
Good question.
Good question. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Steve. So I have two very short questions. First one. There is two towns in California that mandatory any new building must have solar panel built in the house or building, any new building. Do you know? There's two towns, one in North California, one very close to us, and one in Southern California.
How about Berkeley?
No.
Okay.
I wish. Actually, it should be Berkeley.
One in Southern California, one in Northern California.
One in Southern California and one in Northern California. Actually, the Northern California one just happened last week.
How about Mendocino?
They voted for it last week.
Mendocino or Bolinas?
Well, you are close, but not in Mendocino.
Oh, how about Bolinas?
No.
I said Bolinas. Yes.
Did you say Bolinas? Okay.
Close to Mendocino County, I believe.
Point Arena.
Town. About, say it again.
Point Arena.
No.
Okay. Bodega Bay.
Yeah.
No. Go ahead. It is in Mendocino. I believe it's in Mendocino County. It is close to Napa.
I don't know.
We don't know.
Should I give you an answer?
Yeah.
Or should I leave it to the audience?
Well, go ahead and give us. Yeah, tell us.
Yeah, okay. It's the Sepesta Pool in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Lancaster in Southern California.
All right.
And really, it should be. Berkeley, in fact, should lead that. And Mayor Bates should lead that, in fact. Instead of proposing all kind of stupid ideas. Okay, the second question, very interesting, and I said it before, but let's leave that to the audience. Okay, the longest river in the world. Do you have a shot, you know, at it, any of you? The longest river in the world, which one?
I think you asked us that, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I know, but
I think we always miss it.
Amazon.
Yeah, which?
Amazon.
Which one?
Amazon.
No, it's not the Amazon.
The Nile.
The Nile. Okay, how about the largest?
The largest based in what? Volume?
Volume of water per second.
Probably the Amazon.
Perfect.
There you
How about the Kuya? So I'll give you the shortest and narrowest and widest and have the audience do it. The shortest one is 200 feet. Is in America.
It's in Oregon.
You're right. What's the name of it?
It's just a single letter, isn't it?
The D River. So I'll give you
the
that.
The D River, right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, the narrowest in China. It's 10 inches.
10 inches. Is that a river?
But it's about 1,000 foot long.
The pole.
I always start to find interesting questions.
We don't know that.
You leave that to the audience. Okay.
All right.
Then the widest is 65 miles wide.
Wow.
In South America.
Oh, South America. Oh, I was going to say it was the Volga. 65 miles.
Something.
Yeah, at one.
Oh, it's the Rio de la Plata.
Very good, very good. Very okay, so we just need the narrowest, which is all what we need. Maybe one of the audience is in China. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
The longest two questions we've ever had. And let's see, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, guys, this is Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
I am pretty sure that the novel with the author as actor that you're looking for is Native Son by Richard Wright.
You're right.
Oh, you're right.
We saw that in a college course I took with the story that he fought Hollywood for years because he didn't want them to soften the story. But somehow when he financed it himself, I think in South America, he wound up changing everything. Bigger Thomas kills the girl by accident instead of in an inexplicable fit of
wow.
He was not going to be the original star of it, but Canada Lee was the actor who was a well-known African American actor in the 40s.
How was he as an actor?
It was all right. It was very inexpensively made, but he did a perfectly reasonable
wasn't
job.
Wasn't he too old for the part?
Not as bad as you would think.
Yeah. Good job. Thank
Great
you.
Great answer.
Thank you. And I have a guess about the country named after the river.
Yes.
Is it the Congo?
It is not the Congo.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yes, Native Son. It's the first major U.S. best-selling novel that starred the author in the film adaption. And the adaption is 1951.
I can't think of many others. Mickey Spillane is good.
Too many others.
Be on the list.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. Although it's getting much harder to tell now, who was the first dead person ever elected to the Senate?
it's a good lead-in.
It's the one who defeated John Ashcroft, I think, who was killed in a plane crash. His name was Carnahan?
Mel Carnahan.
Mel Carnahan.
Okay, good.
Right.
Year 2000. Very good. Very good. Okay, here's another one. Okay.
It was Missouri, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, in honor of Lori being here tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Who is the only baseball player elected to the Hall of Fame whose 5-year waiting period was waived?
Oh. I should know. You can guess on this too, Dana.
Well, I'm just going to guess Jackie Robinson because of it seems like that's the sort of thing
you
might
do.
Was it for health reasons?
I'm not telling you why. Right.
Their election to the Hall of Fame was waived. Can you tell me? Can you tell us about when it was? Like what decade?
I'm not quite sure. I would guess. I'm not going to tell you that. Okay. I would. It would just be a guess. I have a rough idea what.
But someone really well known. Yeah.
So you figure it's going to be a very specific reason for this.
Yeah. Very well known.
Yeah.
Like they were, you know, in very ill health.
Illness
or something.
Would be one.
What?
I'm just trying
to
think.
Yeah, that would be one reason. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. This is a good one. I'll ponder it.
Okay.
So they waived the 5-year rule.
Yeah.
Okay, Colin with this one.
Only one.
Read the question once more.
Who is the only baseball player elected to the Hall of Fame whose 5-year waiting period was waived?
Okay.
That's a great question.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? No? Sorry about that. Call back. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I have two possible answers. I'm Marcia from Alameda.
Hi, Marcia.
And hi. I have two possible answers for the Walmart question.
Yeah.
Would it be crackers?
No, it would not.
What about Vienna sausages?
That's good.
No, I want a specific brand name as well.
Oh, you
Vienna
do.
Sausage is pretty specific.
Well,
it's just not right.
Vienna not sausages, no.
Yeah, saltines would be.
Yeah, something from a can. That's actually
that's a good idea. Yeah, tuna.
But neither one of those, right?
No.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And they don't seem like snack food stuff in cans.
Like sardines or something,
No one's stuck
King Oscar sardines. But you want a very specific brand name.
Yeah.
Like Oreos?
Like that, yeah.
All right. It's not Oreos, is it?
No.
All
right.
Malamars. What would people want?
Something that goes with beer.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Peanuts guess was in there.
True.
It doesn't go with beer.
Oh, it doesn't go with beer. Oh, all right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman, who's slightly hoarse, but soldiered on and came anyway. And, of course, Lori Fisher, who teaches at Diablo Valley College, teaches English. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yes, hi. This is Bernard in San Francisco.
Hi, Bernard.
Hi. I have a guess about the country named after a river.
Yes.
Would that be India?
It would be India.
Oh,
the Indus
very
River,
good.
Right?
The Indus, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bernard.
Good work.
All right.
Good job. And Laurie, it's your turn.
All right. Well, they've made another version of The Great Gatsby. And since I love the book, I thought I'd ask a couple questions
about
that.
They'll keep trying until
they get it right. I know. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
So the first questions involve Gatsby's name. What was Gatsby's first name and what was his birth name? You guys might
Jay Gatz.
Jay Gatz. Well, right. Jay Gatsby. And then what was his birth name?
Gatz.
Yeah.
James Gatz.
G-A-T-Z.
G-A-T-Z.
Yes.
All right, very good on that. These two are a little tougher.
Yeah.
Nick Carraway in the text says the following, and I want to know where the line is from. He says, life is much more successfully looked at from a single window after all. And Fitzgerald took that line from another work of literature.
Well,
what's that work?
Say it again.
And then there's another one that I just found out reading about the book. The epigraph for the book is a poem, and the poem is, it's kind of lovely, then wear the gold hat if that will move her. If you can bounce high, bounce for her too. Till she cry, lover, gold-hatted, high-bouncing lover, I must have you. Who is the author of that epigraph, and what's unusual and distinctive about that author?
Do the first part again.
Okay, so the first question was, Nick says, life is much more successfully looked at from a single window after all. What kind of well-known work of literature is that taken from? And then the epigraph, which has the famous line, lover, gold-headed, high-bouncing lover, I must have you. Who wrote that? What's the name given to that epigraph in the book? And what's kind of unusual and distinctive about that author?
Is it an American author, the first that you're looking for?
Yes.
A contemporary of Fitzgerald's?
Yes. They would have overlapped in age. I don't know if they knew each other.
As well-known as Fitzgerald?
He's well-known. It's mm-hmm. hard to know who's as well-known as Fitzgerald, but
I know
but
that
everyone
quote.
Knows
that,
him.
I know that bouncing quote.
Yeah. Is it Dos Passos?
No. So again, the first is a famous line, the life is more successfully looked at from a single window, and then the epigraph is from a more obscure author. And I want to know if you know the author, and then what's unusual about that author.
Okay.
Michael Arlen?
Say it again?
Michael Arlen?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, so we can leave those
two. Green hat.
We got the names of that.
Right.
My God. Does anybody read Michael Arlen? Michael Arlen anymore?
No.
I never have.
No?
I don't think so.
No. And they made a Greta Garbo movie out of The Green Hat.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh. Call that?
A Woman of Affairs.
Oh.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes. What is the name of the film based upon a work by Ayn Rand that had the backing of a world political figure?
So you mean somebody not in the United States?
Well, they've only made two movies from her works, haven't they?
Well, all right, let me think about this.
They made The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Yeah,
Is it We the Living?
Yes.
And wasn't that made with Mussolini's backing?
Yes, Mussolini had read this script by, I think his name was Goffredo Alessandrini, and it told about the oppression and horrors of Leninism in Russia.
Right.
And he supported that until he saw the final version, and he began to have second thoughts that regime painted on the screen might refer to his rule. And so he backed out, and he had them deported.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it was 40, I want to say, well, the book was 36, but I think the movie was like 41, 42, right around there?
1942.
Okay.
The female lead was Alida Valli.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Gloria, is that quote from a poet? About high-bouncing lover quote?
I'd say yes.
Okay.
I'd say it tentatively, but I'd say yes.
What?
I'm going to say kind of tentatively. Yeah.
Tentatively?
Yeah. I can't commit to that answer for... If you find out what's odd about the writer, then you'll know later on.
All right.
All right. I was looking at a list the other day of the all the people that have appeared on U.S. stamps. And there have been many, 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 as you can well imagine. But there are three letters of the alphabet that have had only one person appear on a stamp.
Their last name?
Yes, their last name would be the first name.
So all the letters have been taken, but
all
only
the letters
three.
Have many people that have that have their name start with that letter, except three. There are three letters of the alphabet that have had only one person appear on a U.S. stamp. So I'm going to give you the letters.
Okay.
The letters are Z, X, and Q. So each of those letters have had one person appear on a U.S. stamp. And they were the one person whose last name starts with that letter.
And they are all real people.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yes.
Right. And they're Americans.
Yes, they're all Americans. Yes. Not football players, just all Americans. And so again, they're just to go over that once more. Looking at a list of all the all the personalities that have appeared on US stamps, there are three letters, Z, X, and Q, that have each only had one person with the last name starting with those letters appear on a stamp.
Well, we had a question about something similar about her, Zaharias, Babe Zaharias.
That is one. Okay. Babe Dietrichson Zaharias is the Z.
That she's the Z.
So
did we have a question like that about her? Something?
We might have. I don't know.
Okay, X and Q.
So we're still looking for X and Q.
That's good.
And they're both Americans.
It's not Dan. It's not Dan Quayle.
It is not Dan Quayle. Not yet, anyway.
Thank you, United States.
Yes. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Yeah, hi. It's David in Oakland.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I, for Jerry, your question about the player, who the Hall of Fame player, it's one of two. I think that it's Roberto Clemente.
It is.
Oh, very good.
It is, yeah. Who died before he could be
elected. Either him or Lou Gehrig, I know, but, yeah.
Well, he died in a plane crash.
Yeah, Roberto Clemente. Reason. Very good.
Right, and I have a question for you, actually. It's a baseball-related question, but it's one that actually anyone here can answer.
Okay.
And what it is it's a little sports writer's joke, and it's a phonetic description of a ball game where someone hit a grand slam. And here's what, I think it was Jim Murray, the sports writer, who came up with this, but essentially picked the first three words of the most popular book ever written and the first two words of the most famous American speech ever given and put them together to come up with this description of a game yesterday where someone hit a grand slam.
You might have to go over the question again.
Could you say that again?
Yeah. You take the first three words of the most famous book ever written and most widely sold, and the first two words of the most famous American speech ever given, read them together, and you have a quote describing yesterday's ball game when someone hit a grand slam.
In the beginning, I had a dream. No, in the beginning.
Well, what's the most famous American speech ever? You got
four,
the first part,
four
right?
Score.
Four. In the beginning, four.
Four
yeah,
score?
In the beginning, four score.
Four score and seven.
No, in the beginning, four score.
Four score.
Oh, in the beginning, yes, I've heard that joke.
Got it.
Yeah.
Very good. Got it. Okay, have a good night.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
How about Anthony Quinn on the stamp?
No, well, that's a good guess,
yeah,
but no.
Actors on stamps,
no.
Yeah.
No, there are no actors. No.
Okay, these are real, authentic, deserving yeah.
when,
people.
When, right. I was in New Orleans, we went by Xavier University. Is it Francis Xavier was a religious leader or something?
Yeah, but this is an American.
Oh, well, he wasn't.
So it's not Xavier.
I don't think it was Xavier Cugat. No, it's not Xavier Cugat either.
Yeah.
But it has to be the last name. I don't know who
Francis Xavier was.
I think he was French.
Okay. Was he? Okay.
I think he was a settler.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. So while I've been on hold, someone got India, someone got Roberto Clemente. So I'm reduced to semi-cheating, meaning that I'm holding the copy of The Great Gatsby that I bought for college. It cost $1.25. And Thomas Park, Danvier?
Correct.
Or Din Villers. I have no idea who this person is, and unfortunately,
there's no helpful notes.
It's Thomas Park Danvier. I'm pronouncing it like the caller is, and he's the one who wrote The Lover, Gold-Hatted, High-Bouncing Lover, I Must Have You, the epigraph. And so do you know what's unusual about this author?
I never heard of him.
No, and unfortunately, I didn't write down in 1970.
Yeah, well,
somebody told me don't know.
I've taught the book many times, and I just found it out today, and I confirmed the source about who he is. Very good. Do you have the other line?
Could you give us his name one more time?
Can you pronounce his name one more time?
Well, this is a guess. You need what's her name, who teaches at the French school.
Yeah, Pauline.
His last name is D'Invillers. Yeah.
D'Invillers.
And he has some connection to...
Thomas Park Danvier. Yeah.
He has something remarkable. This author has something remarkable about him.
Yeah, he's got the quote in The Great Gatsby.
Well, it's even more surprising than that. And then you have the other one, Life is Much More Successfully Looked At from a Single Window.
Okay. No, I need my notes.
Okay, we'll leave those two out there. Very good.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I have an answer for Q, and that would be Harriet Quimby.
It is Harriet Quimby. Very good.
Who'd be she?
Harriet Quimby. Do you want to tell people who Harriet Quimby was?
She was an early aviatrix.
All right, one of the very early women pilots.
Didn't know her.
Okay, don't know her.
Excellent.
Good.
Thank you.
Hey.
So X is the award.
So we just need the X.
Yes, we just need the X.
That's tough.
Good job on that. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. I want real specific answers here. What are the breeds of these famous dogs? Some are easy, some are harder. Toto. Eddie on Frasier. Fala. Cujo, C-U-J-O. Why are you laughing?
Well, okay. Go ahead. I guess they're all fictional dogs, yeah?
Fala was real.
Yeah, okay. Cujo.
And Greyfriars Bobby, which is from something. I don't know what that's from.
That's from Greyfriars Bobby, the okay. book.
And Asta, A-S-T-A.
Mm. Well, Asta and okay. Fala are a lot I'll alike. They're both terriers.
I'll give you two.
Okay. Are they both terriers? And you just want to know which kind of terrier Fala is and Asta is? Aren't they both terriers, like Irish terriers or wire-haired terriers?
Yeah, I'm not sure you answer that.
Toto's a Norwich terrier, I think.
Toto's a what?
A Norwich terrier.
No.
Oh, really? Oh.
And I'm going to say Asta's a wire-haired terrier.
Well, I don't know what that's not what I have.
Okay.
Another name for that.
The dog on Frasier is a Jack Russell Terrier, I think.
That's correct.
And Cujo was a Saint Bernard.
That's correct.
Oh wow!
And Fowl was
what is Cujo from? Is that a book?
That's a book by Stephen King.
Oh, Stephen King, yeah, sure.
Goes rabbit or something.
Okay, yeah. And Fowl was a Scottish
Terrier. Very good.
So we need Toto, Asta, and the Greyfriars.
Asta, I think, was the wire-haired terrier.
That's what I said, but Jerry rejected it.
Maybe wire-haired is another name for this, but I don't.
Okay,
I don't know enough about dog breeds.
But, all right.
Yeah. So Greyfriars, Bobby, Toto, and Asta.
How about on the X? Is it Malcolm X?
It is Malcolm X.
Oh,
yes.
We have our audience member Susan Schweik gets credit for that. Very good.
All right. Yes, the X is Malcolm X. Very good. Okay. All right. Let's see here. We're about halfway through. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry.
Okay. Walmart executives have discovered that as a hurricane approaches an area, customers stock up on what snack food? And I want the specific brand name, which is placed in the front of the store with the storm supplies.
That's a great question.
And Lori.
Is that it? I have... Tony Award winners, the most recent Tony Award winners for Best Leading Actor and Leading Actress, who had previously won an Academy Award for Best Actor and Best Actress. I'm looking for the reference in The Great Gatsby when Nick says, life is much more successfully looked at from a single window after all. What work is that from? And then our caller got the epigraph was written by an author named Thomas Park Dinvilliers. What's interesting or unusual about that author?
All right.
Is it connected to Fitzgerald or
yes,
to the book?
Yes, it's connected to Fitzgerald in the book.
Okay. And I have no questions that have left. They've all been answered. So, Laurie, it's your turn.
Okay. You know, I'll ask the. It's another great Gatsby line. I get to read the last line of Gatsby, which everybody knows. So we beat on boats against the current, borne ceaselessly back into the past. I like asking, this is another variety of that question. I'm going to give you the last lines to four well-known books. What are they? The first one is, the knife came down, missing him by inches, and he took off. The second one is, he was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness and distance. Sounds a little bit like Gatsby. Third one is, oh, my girls, however long you may live, I never can wish you a greater happiness than this. And I think the last one will be, but wherever they go and whatever happens to them on the way, in that enchanted place on the top of the forest, a little boy and his bear will always be playing. Last lines to four.
Is it, oh, my girls, Little Women?
It is. Very good.
Right. And the last one sounds like Winnie the Pooh.
It is Winnie. Well, it's close enough. House at Pooh Corner.
House at Pooh Corner. What okay. was the, I'm sorry, would you read the others?
The first one that I read was, the knife came down, missing him by inches, and he took off. And the second one, which reminds me of Gatsby and is nothing like Gatsby, is he was soon borne away by the waves and lost in darkness.
Oh, I know
distance.
That one. I've definitely, I know that
and
one.
You got Little Women and you got House at Pooh Corner.
All right. All right. I have to think about that.
Okay.
Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Vermonter.
Hi, this is Ron in Oakland.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. Well, somebody got the cue, but I could have sworn it was Claire Quilty. Humbert
from Lolita.
No, it had to be a real person.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. The hurricane food, would that be Lay's potato chips?
No, it would not.
Ooh.
Oh. You have to give me that that's a good guess, though, right?
It is a good guess. You're right.
Salt, okay. Good salty food.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
Abraham Lincoln had a syndrome, or at least many, but not all, doctors believe he had a medical condition that was actually a syndrome. Do you know what that was?
It's the one that elongated his fingers, right?
Is it something like Marfan's syndrome?
That's right.
That's it.
Marfan's syndrome. It's my dad was the physician who first diagnosed that.
My Paganini, the famous violinist, had the same thing with the elongated fingers.
What is it?
Maybe Rick Okasek of the car.
It gives you elongated fingers.
Did you say your dad diagnosed it?
Yes, my dad wrote a paper and published it in the Journal of AMA in 65.
Ah,
nice.
Interesting.
Although there's still some resistance to it these days. So.
You mean they're born with them, or they stretch, or they grow, or what happens?
Maybe you can explain it just a little bit better.
Well, a syndrome is a constellation or cluster of symptoms, unlike a disease. So arachnodactyly, or long spider-like fingers, ectopia lentis, which is a condition of a wandering eye, which Lincoln had, being tall is one. Having a pectus excavatum, or a sunken breast.
Oh, okay.
And
I didn't know Lincoln had a wandering eye.
Jerry, you have a kind of a wandering eye. I wonder if you get that.
No idea.
The arachna digitalis. Yeah. That sounds really cool.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you explaining it. Bye-bye. Okay, two things here. Debbie, we're going to play that in just a second. I want to do a question first. There are five answers to this. These are five actors who played Humphrey Bogart role in the remakes. Okay? These are five actors who played the Humphrey Bogart role in the remakes of Bogart films. So I'll give you the five actors. Number one, Harrison Ford. Number two, Mickey Rourke. Number three, Joel McRae. Number four, Robert De Niro. Number five, Ed Asner. So again, these are five actors who played the Humphrey Bogart role in remakes of Bogart movies. Number one, Harrison Ford. Number two, Mickey Rourke. Number three, Joel McRae. Number four, Robert De Niro. Number five, Ed Asner. Okay, you guys want to take a guess?
And you want to know the original Bogart movie?
Yes.
Do they all have the same title in the remake?
All save one.
Was Mickey Rourke in... Might have the suddenly was that the one where he's an assassin?
Oh, that's Sinatra.
That's Sinatra.
That's Sinatra. Okay, all right.
Gee, I don't know any of these.
That's a great question, and they're all pretty well known Bogart movies.
Yeah. I would say so. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. Three of them from the '50s. I mean, the original movies are from the '50s.
Okay, so they're late.
Right.
I don't see Ed Asner as a Humphrey Bogart type.
That's not one of the ones from the 50s.
Yeah, that's later.
That's
Asner played him later, made the remake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he would have had to.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of quasi...
One of them was an Elvis Presley film. Really? In other words, the remake had Elvis Presley in it.
Of a Bogart film.
Of a Bogart film,
wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Is Asner in that... Was that a movie of... Were No Angels with Bogart in that?
Yes, Bogart was in that, but that's not the Ed Asner one, though it's one on the list.
It's okay. The De Niro one.
That's the De Niro one, yes.
Very good.
Yeah, We're No Angels. Yes, very
Team
good.
Team effort.
Great movie.
Okay.
All right.
So, okay, Debbie, you'd like to play this now. So, Deanna Durbin died a few days ago, one of the last of the really big stars of the 30s and 40s. She certainly saved Universal Pictures from going under. So I'm going to play a song that she sang in a film. It's the title song of one of her films. So what I'd like you to tell me is who the lyricist and the composer are. Okay?
Of this Deanna Durbin song.
Of this Deanna Durbin song.
Hummingbird, mockingbird, listen to me. I've got no tree. Oh, but I'm happy as heaven is wide. I got a song bubbling in
So, yeah, she was widely admired for having one of the purest, nicest voices.
She really does.
So,
so you want to know the
I want to know who the composer and the lyricist were for that.
Sounds like Richard Rodgers, but I don't think it is.
Not Richard Rodgers.
Yeah.
What movie can you tell us?
It's the title song from the film, Can't Help Singing.
Oh, Can't Help Singing. Oh.
So
it's not hard either.
No. So I gave you as much as I possibly could there. Anyway, so tell me the composer and the lyricist.
Can I make a stab at the Bogey movie?
Sure.
Was Harrison Ford in a remake of Sabrina?
He was.
Okay.
Very good.
Oh,
played the
really
Linus Larrabee.
Okay.
And the remake of Sabrina. Very good.
That's very nice. So we're looking for Mickey Rourke, Joel McRae, and Ed Asner.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dana. It's Dave in SF.
Hey, Dave.
I have an Errol Flynn movie question.
Okay.
In 1937, Errol Flynn made a film called Green Light, in which he played a medical doctor working in a hospital.
Right.
In one sequence, he operates on a lady patient, and she dies on the operating table. Who was the actress who played the lady patient who died in the operating room?
You couldn't have asked me who wrote the book that the movie was based on, because actually I know that.
Everybody knows who wrote the book.
All right.
I don't.
Lloyd Douglas.
And you don't know the actress?
And the actress, well, I don't know if I've ever really seen the film all the way through, so...
she well-known?
She was in many big films. George Cukor's Little Women, Mutiny on the Bounty with Charles Laughton and Gable and a lot of other films.
Oh, then it's Spring Byington.
It is.
Oh, my.
Good for you.
I wouldn't have gotten it if you hadn't given those other two movies.
Errol Flynn killed Spring Byington.
Yeah.
You know the other occupation of Lloyd C. Douglas? He not only wrote books, but he had another occupation.
Was he a minister or anything like that?
He wasn't a minister.
Who are we looking for?
Lloyd C. Douglas. What was his other occupation? Well, he wrote sort of spiritually tinged books. Did he write The Robe, too?
Yeah. I'll tell you what he was. He was a physician.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, that makes sense.
And the real name of Asta was not Asta, but in Myrna Loy's autobiography, she does give his real name. It was Skippy.
Oh, all right.
Asta had a stage name, huh?
Right.
That was a stage name.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah, the dog in The Awful Truth is the same dog that played Asta. With Mr. Smith.
Skippy.
Was the dog in The Awful Truth.
Skippy.
What, did you give a year of Can't Help Singing?
1944.
Okay, I'm going to take a guess because it's kind of a lyrical. Kern and Hammerstein?
You're right about Kern.
No, it wouldn't be Hammerstein. He was with Rogers.
Yeah, you're right about Kern, but not...
Kern, it sounds like a Kern melody.
Yeah, it's Kern. It's Jerome Kern, but it's not Oscar Hammerstein. I think it's somebody who basically only worked with him once. Famous lyricist.
But he's famous.
Very famous, yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Fred calling all the way from West Virginia.
Oh, hi, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
I have a Northern California question about Yreka. Did you ever hear of Yreka?
Of course.
I think I've driven through it.
I've been there.
You've heard of the Yreka Bakery?
It's a palindrome.
Oh, shoot. That's too easy. Okay, one quick one.
So it's spelled the same backwards as forwards. Yeah. It's very famous.
Exactly. I kind of like that one.
Very good.
And The Great Gatsby has said, as you know, it's an auto wreck is very important. And it said that a bad driver is only in trouble when...
When there's another bad driver?
Exactly.
Something
you're
like
too
that.
Good, Lore.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we read it in high school, Fred.
Absolutely. I'm rereading it.
Is that from the book?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, my man. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Thanks, Fred.
Take care. And the number to join us here on Minds Over Matter with a question or answer is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, what politician was said to have, quote, the lips of Marilyn Monroe and the eyes of Caligula, unquote? One guess only here.
Lips of Marilyn Monroe and the eyes of Caligula. Wow. That's a great description.
Is this a woman we're looking for?
I'm not telling you.
Right. An American politician.
Wow.
Margaret Chase Smith.
No.
Evita Cole Pobby.
The lips of Marilyn Monroe.
The lips of Marilyn Monroe. Huh.
Sarah Palin.
No.
All right.
That's a great description. Who wrote that description, do you know?
I don't know where it came from. I don't know who said it originally.
Is this a contemporary politician? Can you tell us that?
I'm not telling you that.
Well, it's going to be at least when Marilyn Monroe was alive.
Yeah.
It's contemporary with us.
Okay.
It's not real old.
Not real old. All right.
Did she know Caligula?
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, is that me?
It is you.
It's Lisa in Minneapolis.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
Hi. And I think the answer to Jerry's question about hurricanes is Pop-Tarts.
Strawberry Pop-Tarts.
Oh.
Very good.
Strawberry Pop-Tarts. Only like one flavor?
It's full of nutritional value. Yeah.
But it's specifically strawberry, huh?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Excellent.
Wow. Very good.
How do they cook them after the storms come in and knocked all the electricity? I guess they don't.
With your solar-powered toaster, I guess.
you roast them over a fire.
Yeah. Mm,
interesting. Thank you.
All right, that's all I got. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Tess from San Francisco.
Hi.
And I think I have the answer to some of the dogs, if they haven't been answered yet.
Okay, Toto, yeah.
Toto, I believe, was a Cairn Terrier.
Cairn or Boston Terrier, correct.
And who's the other dog? Bobby or Greyfriars?
Greyfriars, Bobby, yeah.
Skye Terrier?
A what?
Skye Terrier.
A Skye Terrier, indeed.
Oh,
very,
good.
Very good. You know your terriers.
So they're all terriers.
And who is there any other dog?
Asta.
Wire-haired Fox Terrier?
Fox Terrier. I didn't know if that's a wire-haired terrier. Hmm. Or Schnauzer, they're called sometimes. I
Schnauzer?
No, he was no Schnauzer.
No, I don't think it was a Schnauzer.
Wire-haired
terrier.
I know Schnauzer.
So they're all terriers.
The melon and the eyes of Caligula. Could that be Dan Quayle?
No.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks
love
a lot.
I think he had the lips of Caligula, the eyes of Marilyn Monroe.
They were all terriers except for Cujo, yeah.
And Lori, it's your turn.
Okay. All right. So there were three other titles that Joseph Heller considered for Catch-22. And I'll tell you the titles. They all had catches in them. They were Catch-11, Catch-17, and Catch-18. And they were all eliminated for different reasons.
Well, Catch-18 because there was a book called Mila 18.
Correct.
About Israel.
Yes, around the same time by Leon Uris.
What were the other catches?
The other catches were Catch-17 and Catch-11. So, and they were all for similar reasons that they were eliminated.
Other
things that might cause confusion. So Catch-18 is Mila 18, yeah.
11.
Huh. What year did that come out?
60, 58 to 62.
Oh, that early? Okay.
I think
a little later. Well, anyway.
Huh. All
right. Maybe as late as 63. Yeah, so 17 and Catch 11. And they were, people thought they would be confusing, as with Mila 18.
11. Are the conflicts with, like as Jerry's earlier answer, with other works of literature?
No, but with other works of popular culture, yes.
17. Is there a song involved in the 17 one?
Like, no.
All right.
16 going
your
on.
Sweet, yeah. Sweet 16, yeah. You're beautiful, okay. And you might know it wasn't that.
All right.
So we're looking for why it wasn't called Catch 11 or Catch 17. And supposedly, after Catch 11 was rejected, he doubled it. He wanted a repetitive number, and supposedly that's how he got to 22.
Okay. I can't think of any other.
You'll know them both.
All right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Sandra in West Portal.
Hi, Sandra.
And I'm calling about the knife that came down and then he went away.
Yes.
That was Catch 22.
It was Catch 22. Yes, very good. The knife came down, missing him by inches, and he took off. Really good.
And that's the last line?
That's the last line of Catch 22.
Oh, great book.
Yeah, and that led to the... Do you know the answer to the Catch 11 and Catch 17 rejection question?
Clue.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Doesn't he escape by boat at the end of the... Like, he takes off
Well, he takes off, but at the last minute, somebody has tried to kill him, and then he has taken off.
Well, it just made me think of that because your other thing was about going out on a boat. And
yes. There's a theme to tonight's show I've been working on. Glad you caught it.
All right.
Very subtle.
I didn't know it myself.
What is the only body part named after a biblical character?
Oh, boy.
The Jeroboam. No, that's not right. A body part named after a biblical
character. There's only one body part named after a biblical character.
It's the official name?
Yes.
Old or New Testament?
Well, it's not the Latin name, but it's the name we all know it by.
Old or New Testament?
I'm not going to say.
Well, it's... Jeez.
Oh, the Adam's apple.
Correct. There you go. Of course.
Excellent.
The very first character in the Bible. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was tried for Achilles' heel, but I don't think he's in the Bible.
Very good. The Adam's apple.
Yeah.
All right.
Whew.
Oh, let's see. Who was the first Asian to be on a U.S. postage stamp?
First Asian. Dr. Sammy Lee, the Olympic diver.
Oh, that's good. This is in 1961, and this person was not a U.S. citizen.
1961?
61.
Not a U.S. citizen.
Not a U.S. citizen, but a very famous person nonetheless.
61.
Is this a political person?
Yes.
Gandhi?
No. Who was the first Asian to be on a U.S. postage stamp? It was in 1961, and this is a famous person involved in politics.
Chiang Kai-shek.
No.
Okay.
General Cash My Check, as they used to call it.
But am I in,
not
in the...
Madam New.
No, not Madam New. No. And
well, how about Nehru?
No.
Speaking of Madam New. Mm-hmm. So are we close? Is it that level of politician?
You're closer with Chiang Kai-shek.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hi, Bart.
Hi. I have an answer for he was soon borne away by the waves and lost in the darkness and distance. That's from Frankenstein.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Thank you for getting
good
that.
Good job.
Yeah.
Good reading.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
I was meditating on how creepy Mickey Rourke can be, and that jogged my memory that there was a... remake of The Desperate Hours, right?
Correct. Oh, The Desperate Hours.
Oh,
very
yeah.
good.
Very good.
And,
he is creepy.
Catch 22, the number 17, was that because of Stalag 17?
It was.
Ah, yes.
Oh,
17 was reverberating
very
out there.
Very good, very good.
What about 11? Do you have that?
No.
All right. It's very similar.
Yeah.
Do you have time for a quick question?
Very quick, yes.
Who in 1970 was the first person to win a Pulitzer Prize in the then new category of distinguished criticism or commentary?
Who?
Ada Louise Huxtable.
That's right.
Oh,
good job.
Architecture critic, yeah.
Very good.
I was in her obit, yeah.
Oh.
Thank you.
Good
thank
question.
You.
Good answer.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello, are you there? Anybody there? No. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi. Okay, Jean from Albany. I had, well, first of all, and dearest to me, is the Eyes of Caligula quote.
Yeah.
That was François Mitterrand's analysis of, or assessment of Margaret Thatcher.
Correct.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
I thought you guys would get that.
Yeah,
easily.
I think
I was thinking American. That. That's good. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay, and I had another one. Let's see. Just a hunch about the Fitzgerald. Is it possible he wrote it himself?
It is possible. That's a great answer. He made up the character because he wanted the poem to be in there.
Oh,
so he made up Thomas Park d'Invilliers, and he's a fictional poet.
It sounded like Fitzgerald.
Yeah, well, that's very good.
Good
detective work.
And I had one other thing about the Catch-22. I heard a story on, I think it was the Writer's Almanac, that... or something like that, about Robert Gottlieb, this famous New York editor, that he had that book, but that ahead of it in production was Leon Uris's book, Mila 18.
Oh, and so that affected the titling?
And that affected his retitling the, you know.
Sounds correct.
He tinkered with it.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Very good.
My former editor.
Yes.
Gottlieb was.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Good answers.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We have a few minutes left. If you want to give us a very quick call at 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call right now. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hey, Thomas.
So the actor who got a Broadway Tony after...
Oh, yeah. No.
Is Adrian Brody it?
No.
Okay, and what about Catch-22? Is it Ocean's 11?
It is.
Oh,
the movie was out and very popular.
Okay.
So
very
that eliminated
Dang,
that. Way to go.
Thanks for the bell.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, did you get an answer for Catch-17 yet?
Oh, we did, but what did you have?
I thought Stalag 17.
That's correct.
You were right.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Right.
Good job.
Thanks.
I can't imagine who the McRae movie.
Oh, the Joel McRae and Ed Asner. We still don't have
That's the one that had a different title in the remake. And it became a Western.
Oh.
Okay.
So, it wasn't a Western and became one?
Yeah, well, it took place in the West, but it became an old Western. Yeah,
Bogart
remake.
Never made a Western that I can think of, though.
Bogart? Made a couple of Westerns.
Yes, did he?
Yeah. Oh. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Oh, hello. This is Bob over in Berkeley.
Hi, Bob.
I'll try for Dr. Sun Yat-sen on the postage stamp.
You couldn't be more right. Very good.
Excellent.
Dr. Sun Yat-sen.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Haven't
All right.
heard that name in a long time.
Yeah.
So let's clean up here. Jerry?
I'm clean.
All right. Lori?
I have The Life is Much More Successful Looked at from a Single Window After All. It's quoting Henry James's preface to Portrait of a Lady.
Mm.
And then in the Tony Awards, the last Oscar winner to win for Best Actor was Denzel Washington just 3 years ago in Fences. And Frances McDormand, who won for Fargo, won for Good People in 2011.
Okay.
So those are the
Very
most
good.
Recent. Yeah.
Very good. Let's see. What do I have left here? Actors who played Bogart's role in film remakes. Ones we have left. Joel McRae did the remake of High Sierra called Colorado Territory.
Oh,
played the Bogart role. Ed Asner played Bogart's role in Kid Galahad. He was Bogart was the gangster that tries to take over the boxer, Kid Galahad.
Yeah.
In the remake with Elvis Presley, Ed Asner played the Bogart role. So, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m., and we will be here next Sunday, Mother's Day. So, we hope you had are going to have a wonderful day today, Cinco de Mayo. Our thanks from Jerry Nachman and Lori Fisher. Thank you very much, Lori.
Thanks, David.
From Diablo Valley College, I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, thanks a lot for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.